What year were you baptized in the Spirit, Barbara? I mean, how many years ago?
Well, it was in 1963. I don't know how many years is that. That's 33 years ago. And for that reason, I am really thankful for my holiness college education, because it was that first year in college in California that a friend across the hallway at the dorm invited me to a meeting one night. And there were about 12 of us, guys and girls, who went to Arcadia, and we went to this man's home, never realizing that he was the forerunner with Dennis Bennett in teaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. His name was Robert Frost. He was a precious man. I got to see him at Full Gospel several years later, and that night he didn't let us leave. I don't remember anything about the teaching, but he didn't let us leave without placing his hands on us. And Darren, that is where the power is, when we can exchange or transfer the power to the other person who's wanting the baptism. That the hands laid are just so important. I went home that night to the dorm, and me being a holiness denominational person whose denomination believed that speaking in tongues was of the devil at that time, I went home to the dorm and I started asking God. I said, God, I want anything you have for me. And he laid on a foreign tongue that I was so amazed. I put my hand over my mouth, and that night I prayed in tongues. But for 10 years, Darren, I doubted that precious gift. And it wasn't until one day when my first husband and I were at the store that we owned, and a precious brother, Dave Duell, came in. And he says, I want to take you guys to lunch. And over the lunch table, he said, you guys are baptized in Holy Spirit. I want you to open your mouth and speak it forth. And that day started a life of absolute blessing and total awesome revelation in my life. I couldn't have learned what I know now, Darren, without that, without the baptism, without the speaking in tongues.
Well, I know that's true. And, you know, I was raised in a denomination much like you were, a different one, by the way. But we were anti at that moment. Against the baptism of Spirit, against speaking in tongues. The people got baptized in Spirit in our church. We ran them off quickly and cut them off and shunned them. And, you know, when I came to the understanding of what we had done, I had to repent, Barbara. I had to, and I pled with God, forgive me, Lord, for being a part of that. Mm-hmm. I did it. I shunned those people. I cut them off. Mm-hmm. I mean, I pushed them away. I rejected them. And I was a part of that type of teaching. And if you have been, folks, I just ask you right now to ask God to forgive you, that you probably did that in ignorance. You did that perhaps because of the leadership, the church leadership that you're around. See, we want you to win. You don't want to have anything there that stands between you and the perfect will of God.
That's
and
right.
Right now, I'll just kind of pray for you, because if I were sitting across the coffee table, and you can receive this baptism by laying on of hands, or you can receive it by faith just listening to this tape or reading the Word. But right now, I just pray, Father God, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that our friends here would repent if they were a part of a theology or a church or a group that came against, actively against, the baptism of the Spirit or speaking in tongues. Oh, Lord God, I know you'll forgive them as they open up their hearts, as they repent, as they plead, Father God. And even if they did that in ignorance, it was wrong. I did it in ignorance, and I was wrong. But Lord, you forgave me, and I know right now you're bringing forgiveness to our friends that are listening today, that are opening up their hearts by faith and saying, oh God, forgive me. Now, my friend, I know he has forgiven you as you've opened up your heart. Now, I want to invite you to pray along with me and with Barbara. I'm going to pray, and she's going to follow my prayer. You can pray along with her on the tape. And we're going to believe and know, absolutely know, that God's going to baptize you in the Spirit if you ask him to do that. So let's go for it. That's what I like to say. Let's just go for it. Do you have something that you want to say, Barbara? I believe before we go ahead and take you through a prayer for the baptism and by faith, we'll go back here to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And Barbara, would you begin with verse 1 there?
Yes, I believe if we tell you these few little verses, it will give you more faith to believe that you really, this is necessary for you. You really desire that. I know some of our friends says, well, if Holy Spirit wants to give it to me, he will. I don't believe we should walk into this wonderful baptism with that kind of attitude. And I feel like just a few more verses here will build up your faith so that you will desire it. Paul says here, and I want to say in 1 Corinthians 13:1, Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Now, Paul here is saying, I have the tongues of men, and I have the tongue of angels. So we know here he spoke in English, and he spoke in a heavenly language. This was not the corporate gift we use in church. This was his very own prayer language, as some of us call it. And in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, pursue love, and that's what 1 Corinthians 13 was all about. It was pursuing love, and love is so important in this, our friends. It is really important in this. But it says, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Now, this was a hunger. This was a hunger that Paul had. I want to get into deeper and deeper with you, Holy Spirit. Desiring earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, and that's for edification for the body. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. This is what Darren's been talking about all this time. God is wanting to reveal his very mysteries to us in the body, his children. Hallelujah. I get so excited when I read this. But one who prophesies speaks to men. Now see, there's two different tongues here we're talking about. I truly believe this. I believe the one is for ourselves to speak to God, and the other one is to speak to men. And the one that we speak to men for is edification, exhortation, consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now this is the difference, I believe, in the two gifts of tongues. One who prophesies and speaks in tongues in the corporate body edifies the body. One who speaks in tongues, he's speaking right in the presence of God, and he's speaking forth mysteries for himself. Hallelujah. I get so excited. Now, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Our dear friend Rick Renner, he says, I've got two languages, and English is secondary. And I'm thinking, wow, did he learn Russian real quick? And he says, tongues is the first one. Tongues is my priority language. And I would wish and desire that we would all become like that. I'm still growing in that, and I know Darren is. But let's go over to the 14th verse here.
Oh, 1 Corinthians 14?
Yes, uh-huh. Okay. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. And Darren, you've been teaching all along here in this lesson that reason of man is useless, that reason of man is powerless here. And he's telling you here, Paul, that when he speaks in tongue, he turns off the mind. The mind is unfruitful. The mind doesn't compute. And that's exactly what God wants. That's exactly what Holy Spirit wants. He doesn't want our mind thinking. And so when Darren and I pray for people and lay on of hands to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we say, we want you to turn your mind off. We don't want you to think right now, which is kind of a little baffling.
Well, what we're really saying when we pray for you to receive the baptism is, don't try to get it by reason. You can't reason it out.
Absolutely.
You can't figure it out. And what we're talking about here is a language that will come with a heavenly interpretation, mm-hmm. not with a translation.
Mm-hmm.
See, now, if we were speaking to you in French and you couldn't understand French, then there would need to be a translator there for you to know what we were speaking.
Absolutely,
well,
yes.
Well, here we're not talking about that type of an interpretation. See, that obviously would be an interpretation of sorts. But here there is a gift of interpretation. And after you've received the baptism here, when we pray a little bit, then I'm going to pray and Barbara will interpret.
Yes.
So that's one of the gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And it says, when he prays in the Spirit and his mind is unfruitful, what is the outcome? And some of our dear friends, they say, well, do I have to just pray in the Spirit and not in English? And no, that is not you don't have to, because here in the 15th verse it says, I shall pray with the spirit, and I shall pray with the mind also. I shall sing with the spirit, and I shall sing with the mind also. That means I shall pray in tongues, I shall pray in English also. And we can do it at the same time. I've heard Oral Roberts speak, and he's up there in the podium just speaking the word of God, and all of a sudden he goes, and he goes right back into his English again, Darren, and I believe that's what this verse is talking about. And we can sing in the spirit, and we can sing in English. And off and on it goes. It is a wonderful tool for the person who really wants God to work in their lives. Praise the Lord.
It says in the book of John that if you're to worship him, you must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
To worship him in the spirit, you really need a spirit language.
That's right.
All right, because we're talking about two dimensions here. We're talking about a spiritual, unseen dimension.